Cool.
Well, tonight I'm going to unpack the entire book of Revelation. Yeah, yeah. So, not really. Let's pray. God, thank you that you're so present and you're so, so real. And thank you that we get to do this thing called life. And yeah, Lord, I don't want this to be about me. So just have your way. Just say what you got to say and do what you got to do. And yeah, have your way. Cool. Amen. Cool. For those of you that, cool. I just put that in a sermon. That's dedicate that to Laura. So for those of you that don't know, me, Sam, and Sam went to PNG not too long ago. And I had an incredible encounter there, which I kind of got to talk about a little bit at Yay Night, a young adults night, not too long ago. But as time's been going on, it's just been unpacking, and God's been showing me more and more. So I thought, yeah, I'd really love to share it with you guys. So it's probably stuff you already totally get and know, but this is just me processing it. So I hope it means something. But yeah, PNG, such a classic place. Is anyone who's been to PNG? Anyone? Some people. Yeah, we got some. Yeah, as I don't know, like we kind of arrived in a boat in the dock, and you know, there's a guy chasing another dude down the street with a rock in his hand, and it's just like, okay, this isn't Australia, that's for sure. Yeah, a crazy place, definitely somewhere you'd want to go only in the will of God, definitely not outside of that. But I love it so much. The people are so beautiful. And yeah, so we got the opportunity to go to a church in a city called Lay City, which is up in the north kind of PNG. And it's such an interesting place. Like I think 5 or 6 years ago, it was ranked maybe the second most dangerous city in the world under like Johannesburg, which is pretty gnarly. But I guess that's what happens when you put, you know, 300 tribes and languages in the one place, and then white people go in there and try and take advantage of them, and it's just a mess in the end. And I guess the end result is this place where, yeah, people, I guess, like anywhere, they're just trying to find who they are and working with what they can. And it doesn't help that a lot of the church there is super religious, and, you know, they get Jesus and they get God, but then there's been no kind of discipleship there. But there's this one little church called Omelie Church that we went to, and there's something really special about it. When we kind of walked in, just all these kids and young adults mainly, but they just get it. I don't know. And if you, yeah, and like they just worship and worship and worship, and they really know how to pray, and they really just get God for who He is in an intimate, close kind of form. And it was so special. Like these kids, they'll go to youth on the Friday and then they'll have dinner and then they'll whip out the guitar and then they'll just do praise songs all night and just do all-nighters at the church, and then once they finish that, they'll keep praying and then they'll keep jamming. And it's just, they're in this constant place of just being so hungry. And so stepping into this little place in the midst of what's around it was just like a breath of fresh air, I guess. Having been to a few different places in Papua New Guinea, to just see these people that get it. And it's kids. It's youth. We were doing a Friday night thing with worship and just sharing our hearts. And Sam had an incredible testimony. And it was just a real special time. And yeah, towards the end, we had a time of like people coming forward that we just pray for them and prophetic words and just really relaxed and just letting God do what He wants to do. And from the right, these three little girls were like, came up front and were on their knees, just really, really praying. And I just felt in my heart like to go over to them and to kneel with them and to pray with them. And yeah, just kneeling down next to them, just seeing their little faces looking up and just tears in their eyes, like just the way they pray is just so earnest and so like, oh, so incredible. Yeah, and so I kind of kneel down with these girls and these three little ones, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and we're kind of holding hand in a circle, and just praying, and I felt God give me some prophetic words about their dreams and what they wanted to do with their lives, and we're just going at it, and it's just so special. And then in the midst of that, I just, don't know if it was real or a vision or what it was, but I saw Jesus walk up in the midst of us, and his back was to me. And he just knelt down in front of each one of these little girls and just put this beautiful little crown just on their heads. And he went to each one of them and would do that and was just so wrapped up in these little people. And, never turned to look at me. He was just so encapsulated by how incredible they were. And he was like, wow, these ones I'm so proud of. So, so, so proud of these ones. And I was, what wrecked me? I was just like, he gets it, you know. That's his heart. Hey, that's so his heart. Just coming right there, right close, and just anointing these little ones and just loving them. And the next day I found out that two of them were twins, and they were telling me, like, oh, they just moved the whole way across PNG from Port Moresby because their father had died, and the only people to stay with was some of their family members up in Lae. So they were just like a bit lost and a bit confused. And, you know, these are six-year-olds. And the other girl, her father had died literally a month earlier. And he was a worship leader in the church. And then one day just got really sick and it all ended real quick. And so just like unpacking this and just praying about it, the only answer that God kept coming up and giving to me was that, you know, his answer to our pain is intimacy. You know, that's really all there is to it. Like, we're so good at overcomplicating. We're so good at overthinking and pushing things aside or whatever. But at the end of the day, that's the simple truth of it. Like, yeah, his answer to our pain, whether we've caused it or it's happened to us or just living. Oh, thanks, Jace. Oh, ice and all. Yeah, this really kind of coming to terms with this, and just really, you know, you can know something, and then you just got to like chew on it, and it starts to kind of dislodge other things in your brain as it goes deeper and deeper, and you start to get a more real understanding of it. And it really pushed up a few things in my heart that maybe I'd projected onto God that, like, probably shouldn't be there, you know. And I don't know, this analogy, it kind of came to mind of, like, I don't know, like, I'm pretend I'm a three-year-old kid and God's my dad, right? And it's like, oh, look, there's a hot plate here, and now I'm gonna grab your hand and stick it on the hot plate just to let you know that it burns you. And so often that's kind of like just a mixed up idea in my head, but, and which I don't believe, right? But sometimes it can still be lodged in there that it affects little things. Like when stuff does happen, you go, oh God, why? What? And it's like this deeper thought. And the real truth of it is that during life, you're waving your arms around, or you purposely go and touch it, or you just bump into it, or whatever. Life happens. And the fact of the matter is, you're like, ah, oh, this really hurts. Really, 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 really hurts. And then God's the dad that comes down and kneels down and goes, wow, that really hurts, son, and gives you a hug. It's the closeness, right? It's the closeness. And the only thing that can shut down and him being close is me going, nope, no, I really love this painful hand. I really love it. I just love the feeling of tears rolling down my face and just being like, God, why did you not tell me? You know, like, and I guess it's just when we function from a state of brokenness, hey, it's just what happens. You know, and yeah, the only thing that stops that intimacy is a choice, hey. It's our choice. That's our choice. And I'm like, I'll just unpack a bit of my testimony. Like, Yeah. I think yeah, so like age 15, my dad kind of ran off and with another woman, and it was just kind of a bit of a messy situation, and year 10's hard enough already, let alone with other stuff on top of it, and just such a weird time of finding who you are. And I think during that time, like, it's so easy just to project stuff onto God, you know? So easy. And the big one was like, why are you letting this happen? This is your fault. God, this is your fault. This is your fault. You're not really going to stick around anyway. And it's such a deep-seated brokenness that was there. And it was like a daily choice of like, am I going to be in this lost kind of state and choose to just keep chugging through on my own? And I'd be like, yep, that's my choice for today. I don't know why. Maybe it was a stubbornness. Maybe it was a... I don't know. I'm still trying to work that one out. What was... whether it was a rebelliousness or... I think so much of what we see of our actual physical dads are what we project upwards, you know. And it's a massive thing. And so the first thing was, yeah, God, why? God, why? No, I'm not gonna be vulnerable with you. I'm not gonna, like, this hurts, you know? And then the next part was sadness. So when you started having this sad feeling and you kind of could almost come to like it. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that, but sometimes it's like, well, this is my little place where I hide under my covers with my headphones on and listen to that sad song again and just pretend the world doesn't exist for 3 minutes and 37 seconds. You know, and it can be nice. It can be like this weird false sense of security. Hey. And so that was a big thing. And then at the end of maybe 4 or 5 months of this going on, I was just like, this is really crap. Am I allowed to say that? Dude, this big. Sorry. Seriously, a sucky point of life. Hey. You know, when it's just like just a real darkness. The fact is that when you keep sweeping stuff under the carpet, there comes a point where it's a mountain in the middle of your room. You can't explain that to mum. You got to clean it, right? I want to do something about this. And so, you know, there was this one family holiday we went on where I locked myself on the veranda and I'm like, I'm not coming back in, God, unless you just do something. Because if you're real, this must be your heart to help me, right? All it took was that turn, you know, that drawing into God, he'll draw into you, you know, and just such an overwhelming peace just hit me that night, and just all this downloading of all these verses that were just so intimate and spoken to my life, and that was a huge turning point of learning to see God as something different, you know. It was so, just one of the most specialist times. You know, and Psalm 147, verse 3, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages our wounds. I like that it says bandages. You know, that's such a visual thing about kneeling down in front of someone and getting right up and personal with their wound and cleaning it and wrapping it and being tender, not to move it too much, but still being so close. You know, bandages our wounds. He heals the brokenhearted. Oh, Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It's like he's always there. That never changes. He's always got the arms out. That never changes. You know, it's just our choice. It's really, really, really our choice. You know? You know, just before I was reading Mark 5, just that story about the lady, you know, with the bleeding and how she sought after God. She made that choice to go to him. And she touched him. She got the healing. That's great. But then God's like, no. Who was that? It's like he wants that personal connection in that step that she's taking. He still wants that closeness. Like, yes, there's the healing. Yes, there's the comfort. But he wants that, I want to look you in the eyes because I love you and I care for you. And yes, you've gotten healed, but, you know, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has healed you. Like, he just wants to, it's so real. that connection. It'd be so cool to be there in that moment and just like, just have seen the way he must have looked at her. Yeah. So cool. And yeah, like when unpacking this and just seeing all these little light bulbs above like every little scenario in my life where I've done something wrong or something's gone wrong, or and actually physically seeing the choice, or the when God's tapped me on the shoulder and gone, oh, hey, I'm ready. Yeah. Like, is this going to be intimacy, or is this going to be, you know, how are you going to take this? Every scenario, I can look back and see it. And I honestly reckon it's the same for all of us. If we look back to every time, you can see that he was there offering something. And we either chose it or we didn't, you know. Chose it or we didn't. And yeah, I really... It's so cool that we played Reckless Love tonight. Like, at the end of the day, he's a pursuer, isn't he? Relentlessly pursuing. The only choice is up to us. And I know we know this as Christians. We get that. We get that. Wherever we're at, God can be there. But sometimes to see it literally and to hear examples of it and to just know it, like the knowing, know that you know that you know that you know. It's just so incredible. Just beyond words, really. To think that we have that as a choice. You know what I mean? Like, think about people that don't understand that's their choice that they have. Like, you know, it'd be such darkness. Yeah. And so, I really don't have a heck of a lot to say, but that's just kind of what's been breaking down in my heart and my mind. And yeah, it's kind of raw, it's kind of real, and it like, oh, what do you reckon, God? Yes. I am in the midst of like one of the ways I kind of brainstorm and break things down and process things is just often like sitting at a piano or somewhere, because that's kind of how I process things, you know. And just this like chorus just kept coming through, like, oh, maybe I should just sing it for you guys. I don't know, maybe I wasn't going to do this, but all right, we can do this. That's cool. Just get in your own zone. Like, it's not about me or performing. Just hear the words, hey? Okay. Give me a second.
Stayed off the world, but doors left open to let in the words you've spoken. A hunger and a need for closeness. My heart's awakened. Tell me, see. reaching out to me. Change your call is sensei. All for me to find him. Love that brings me truth and helps me see clearly. So won't you take me? I'm seeing Jesus, won't you take me? 'Cause my pain was met by intimacy. Your arms reaching out to me. It's my pain. If I enter mercy, Lord, this heart is yours to keep. I choose to let you.
Thank you. So I hope something of that resonates with you and it's real. But yeah, thanks for letting me share. This has been really cool. And yeah, I love you guys. Hey, this is good. Yeah. Hey, let's just pray. God, I thank you that we're broken. God, I thank you that we have a choice. I thank you that you're so present. And God, we don't want to overcomplicate this or overthink this. It's just as simple as, Daddy, I love you and I need you. Lord, I thank you that you want to bring healing to those that have maybe said no to that at times. Thank you that you want to bring healing to us that think we're healed. God, God, we just want to give you the space in our lives to do what you want to do. It's nothing more than that. God, you're so incredible. Your hearts are yours to keep, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Yeah. Thank you. Amen.
So good, buddy. So very, very good. I'm just so glad you prayed that God would heal many of us who don't realize we need healing. Because at the same time you said that, I was sitting there thinking, I suspect I'm not as whole as I think I am. And I think all of us recognize that. It's just that we've never been where the Lord's inviting us to, so it's hard for us to measure the degree of our brokenness yet, because we don't know what complete wholeness looks or feels like. But we, all of us, I think, in our best moments, we suspect, oh, there's more. There's so much more. So thanks, man. The Spirit of God really worked through you tonight, brother. Really, really did, Jason. And I could just sit and listen to you play all night. I just love that. So thanks again. May the Lord expand your gift and your influence and refresh you for what you brought to us tonight. Go from strength to strength, brother. Really, man of God, son of heaven, in Jesus' name. And don't forget your water. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out tonight.